Hello and welcome to an express episode of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and special guest, Matt Chin. What's up, fellas? How are we feeling tonight?
Love it. Emergency pod had to happen.
Yeah, the OTG bomb comes after the big bomb comes.
Yes, Corey is correct. Woj dropped another bomb today. Blake Griffin is going to the Detroit Pistons along with Willie Reed and Bryce Johnson. The Clippers are receiving Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban Marjanovic, a 2018 first-round pick that's protected 1-4 and protected the next 3 years, and a future second-round pick. What was your reaction when you heard this trade, guys?
I loved it for the Clippers. I thought they were kind of in limbo with Blake Griffin's deal, and it gets them out from a ton of money, and it gives them a lot more flexibility for this offseason. Like, if they want to go in one direction and go after LeBron and Paul George, then they can do that. And if not, then they could tank and go the complete opposite way, since they owe their pick to Boston in 2019, so they need to make sure it's lottery protected. So I think this just gives them a ton of options. It's definitely a move that's looking toward the future for them, in my opinion, versus this year.
Yeah, I mean, for the Pistons, the one thing I do like is now Luke Kennard is probably going to get some big time minutes with Avery Bradley being gone, so we're going to finally see what he's like. The only thing I don't like, which I mentioned just now off the pod, is between Reggie Jackson, Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, they have $74.9 million locked up. That just worries me, especially because Reggie Jackson can't stay on the floor. Blake Griffin's had injury problems. But I get there's a bigger picture to this, so it's not really about winning basketball, because anyways, the Pistons are never going to be more probably than a 5 seed. And then on the flip side for the Clippers, Tobias Harris has been really good. He's on a pretty friendly deal, so I do like having Tobias Harris there now. But I still don't think the Clippers are done. I'm sure you guys will agree with me that DeAndre and maybe even Lou will, if not both, will probably get traded this year too. But this is definitely the first move on rebuilding with the Clippers.
Yeah, this is definitely a move to start off the NBA trade season. How surprised were you that Blake Griffin was traded? Obviously, we haven't really heard much of his name in rumors. Signing that big contract this offseason, 5 years, $171 million. You know, the Clippers telling him they're going to put his jersey up, blah, blah, blah. How surprised were you that Blake Griffin was, you know, the main blockbuster trade we saw early in the trade season?
Well, now we know loyalty is not a thing in the NBA. So, I think I like it for them because, like I was saying in the beginning, they're not going to be a contending team as currently constructed, and they owe $141 million for the rest of his contract. So, to get that flexibility, I mean, I love Tobias Harris's contract too, but there's only 1 year left of it. Obviously, DeAndre has the player option next year. I think it could go both ways. They could look to shop him, but if they're actually going to make a play for LeBron and Paul George to LA, then isn't DeAndre the perfect like backline defensive center for them to play with?
Yeah.
So it's so, like to so, me, it could so, go both so, ways.
Matt, are you saying that you think this is? You think they're setting themselves up to get LeBron and Paul George?
I think it's going to be either or. So, like, if they can get LeBron and Paul George, then they could go all in with that. Because, like, if you're LeBron and you see what's going on in Cleveland, obviously, and you're dead set on going to L.A., like, would you rather be with DeAndre Jordan and Pat Beverly, who are gritty veterans, or would you rather be teaching a bunch of kids with the Lakers? Like, to me, being with those two guys and Paul George and Teodosic and with the Clippers is more appealing if he's dead set on LA. And then, like, if you can't get that, then you can hit the reset button and try to get off of DeAndre. If he opts in, try to move him. Obviously, Pat Bev is only making $5 million. People would jump all over that. And then, like, you could still set yourself up for like a sign and trade, like how the Clippers did it with Houston. So you can move like Gallo to Oklahoma City, that money. Like, if Paul George is dead set on leaving Oklahoma City, then, you know, Sam Presti could take some money back, take some assets back, similar to how the Clippers did it with Chris Paul.
I could definitely see some of that. This could be a bigger thing, I guess, to get LeBron. I don't know. I don't see Doc Rivers being there if LeBron goes, though. I just don't know, especially with how things ended with Chris Paul, LeBron James. Just, I don't know. You know, the banana boat works. It's kind of like that. If your friend group doesn't like somebody, none of you like that person. Like, I just don't see LeBron like playing for Doc Rivers personally.
But yeah.
I definitely think though, Matt, you're right though. If he wanted to go to LA, you know, if he's dead set on playing for LA, he would definitely have more of a chance winning and competing with the team like the Clippers, who have more defensive ready guys and more mature players than that set of, like, you know, the Lakers, obviously, were a bunch of kids.
Yeah. So, like, If he doesn't want to play for Doc, then you fire Doc and you just dare Austin Rivers to not take his $12 million player option. So then Doc is gone and Austin Rivers is stuck there without his dad. And is he going to opt into $12 million? Then you just clear up $12 million to get Paul George and you just dare Austin Rivers to stick around on a team where everyone hates him.
Yeah, I mean, definitely LeBron and Paul George is an option. And like you said, if LeBron's definitely set on L.A., you'd rather go to a team with a Patrick Beverley, a DeAndre Jordan, even to Tobias Harris, who still has 1 year on his deal. He's a solid, versatile guy. But if not, it's still the flexibility. Getting out of that Blake Griffin contract, it's amazing, honestly. I didn't think they'd be able to move that contract when they signed the deal, especially with his injury history. But to get back the return they did, I want to talk about the return a little bit. Tobias Harris, 1 year, one more year on his deal. He has this year and next year at $14 million next year. Avery Bradley expiring. Boban Marjanovic, another one more year after this. 2018 pick that's only protected 1 through 4. So I think we all would agree that, you know, the Clippers are going to get that pick this year and then a future second round pick. What do you guys like about Tobias Harris in LA?
I love Tobias next to DeAndre because he can play stretch four. He's a catch and shoot guy. He's not going to crowd the paint. Like, the one thing that you could say about the Clippers is that, like, their front line has been kind of unconventional and, like, not having enough shooting. And now Tobias is the complete opposite of that.
Yeah. And he continues to get better ever since he's left Orlando, which, as we can, I guess, say from now, they stunt players' careers. Because Oladipo, Sabonis, and Harris, they've all exploded since they got out of Orlando. And he's been fantastic. You know, he's having career highs. And now he's, again, going to be in a different offensive system where he's going to have more of a focal point of the offense with the Clippers. So I wouldn't even be surprised if his numbers jump up, you know, the second half of this year.
I think one point that you hit that was right on the dot, Matt, is the spacing. I think people forget how good a three-point shooter. Tobias Harris is shooting 40% from three this year. You know, just running a pick and roll with DeAndre and then having Tobias in the corner, I think we'd agree that, you know, you feel a lot more comfortable giving Tobias an open three. I mean, getting Tobias an open three than Blake Griffin. So that could be a huge plus. And Avery Bradley's a guy that they could possibly move. Do you think Bradley's going to get moved before the deadline?
I think they should definitely shop him. The problem with it is that, like, obviously I'm thinking big picture with Paul George and LeBron James, and the two biggest suitors for Avery Bradley are probably Oklahoma City and Cleveland. So, like, if you're the Clippers and you're thinking big picture like that, like, oh, I can make a play at LeBron and Paul George, like, do you really want to help Oklahoma City and Cleveland this year? Because that might, like, entice those guys to stick around. But I would definitely shop Avery Bradley. They have no reason to hold on to him, because I think they're going to try to get into the top 10 in the draft this year to get a pretty good draft spot.
I mean, maybe you flip, you know, Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan to, or, you know, DeAndre and Avery Bradley to the Cavs now for that Nets pick. Maybe you try and get the Nets pick away from Cleveland just to get LeBron in the offseason, or, you know, who knows what could happen. But I definitely think there's more moves to come from the Clippers. This was not, you know, the set end move. This was the let's set up for more moves.
So I think we all agree that the Clippers are probably going to make more moves before the deadline.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it just opens up so much flexibility for them. And, like, they're going to have so much money coming off their books. And then, like, Rivers, Harris, Teodosic, Wes Johnson, they all have only 1 year left. Some of those guys have options for next year. So, like, if they go into absolute tank mode, you know, there's a window for how they're going to get there sooner rather than later now.
And another side of that, too, is, you know, if – Doc Rivers isn't a rebuild head coach. So, you know, let's say they're not trying to rebuild. They're trying to just retool. Obviously, there's got to be more moves made because Doc Rivers isn't going to want to coach a team that, you know, isn't going to at least compete for a playoff spot.
Right.
Very true. But let's take a look at the Pistons side. Why do the Pistons make this move? Obviously, there's a big risk trading for somebody like Blake Griffin on that contract with the injury history. And it's not even just like he's injury prone. He just has some bad luck. So why do the Pistons make this move?
I think they needed to do something splashy. Like, they're in a brand new arena, 29th in attendance percentage. Like, there just isn't anything to inject in a lot of enthusiasm into the Detroit fan base. They have a lot of money on their books, as Corey was saying, for the long term. So I don't think they're going into tank mode. Like, they're not getting off of Jackson. They've tried to shop him. They've tried to shop Drummond a little bit. So Griffin, I think, is a nice splashy move for them. The interesting thing to me is, how does Stan Van Gundy adjust to not having a pure four around one big center, like, system now? Like, he's so used to having Marcus Morris, Tobias Harris, Channing Frye, Rashard Lewis, like, all those guys who can stretch the floor, catch and shoot from the power forward position, like, around Drummond, who doesn't have any range. And now, like, Blake's obviously used to playing with someone like that, but I'm curious to see how Stan Van adjusts, like, a system that he's been running for a decade. to that kind of front court.
Well, yeah, the one issue with the Pistons all year, if I'm correct, is their 3-point shooting. They've had an issue hitting the long ball, and Tobias Harris was their best shooter. And you know, Blake Griffin has, you know, he had a game-winning three at some point this year, and he's become a little bit of a better shooter. But you know, they definitely got worse, and they have to rely on guys like Stanley Johnson, who's still very young and unproven. You know, Luke Kennard, obviously, is going to get a chance now. Reggie Jackson, as long as he stays healthy, may be able to contribute a little bit. I think it's just a move for Detroit. Like you mentioned, though, Matt, you know, they wanted to obviously bring in more fans. Having a new arena that is, you know, 29th in attendance is obviously an issue. You're trying to bring, you know, make money, as it's still a business at the end of the day. But, you know, they've been mediocre. They're between 7-9 in the Eastern Conference, or 7-10 Eastern Conference every year, it seems. They get a first round entrance and they get booted by LeBron generally in 4 games. This is also, I think, a move for them to be at least somewhat competitive. Because I think in Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin, possibly in the right circumstances, especially if they match up with Boston, you know, who struggles in rebounding, they could maybe steal a game or two. I don't think they beat Boston, but I think Drummond and Blake Griffin can maybe steal 1 or 2 games from Boston, like a first round series.
What do you guys expect from Blake this year, the rest of the year in Detroit? He's averaging 22, 7.9 rebounds, 5.4 assists, 44% from the field, 34% from three. What can we expect from him the rest of the season in Detroit?
Well, I've always been in favor of Blake being Point Blake. I think it's the first article I ever wrote for OTG was to advocate for Point Blake. And since Reggie Jackson is shelved, like, I would put the ball in his hands as much as possible. Let him run like these weird 4-5 pick and rolls with Andre Drummond and see how teams in the Eastern Conference defend that, because that is like a matchup problem. And I've always said that Blake is so much more of a dynamic passer than people expect, because he had to play next to Chris Paul. So I think his numbers are going to skyrocket from the assist perspective. Like, if Stan Van is willing to do something unconventional like that, like Van Gundy to me is kind of caught between an old school coach and a new school coach. Like, does he have the foresight to put the ball in a 6'10 power forward's hands and just let him run point? Like, that's what I would want to see from Blake.
Yeah, I agree. I think I read that article actually, Matt, when you wrote that about Blake Griffin being more of a point guard. You know, or getting the chance to play more of a point guard. I'm interested to see what Blake can do. I don't know how much his numbers are going to jump up. I definitely think he's going to have to score more. But like I said, I don't really like the supporting cast in Detroit to begin with. You know, they've had an issue all year to me with shooting, and I don't know if his assist numbers will really go up. I do like him next to Andre Drummond. This kind of takes a little bit of pressure off Drummond down low. But I still don't know how it actually works on terms of how it's going to look on the court. Because, like I said, the shooters, for me, is just an issue in Detroit.
Yeah, I'll say this. Like, ahead, Stanley man. Johnson's got to learn how to shoot a jump shot really quickly now. Like, I think if it's Stanley Johnson, Blake Griffin, and Andre Drummond in the front court, like, he's going to have to learn how to shoot the ball.
He currently, I believe, is shooting under 30% from three. Reggie Bullock is a pretty good shooter they have, but I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit made another trade. But I agree with you, Matt and Corey. I think in that playmaking role, Blake will succeed. Kind of something, I don't want to say the same, but maybe similar to Hedo Turkoglu in Orlando. Yeah. But what do we think for Detroit? Do you think we're going to see another move? You know, are they going to make another move to try to add to this team and really make a push in the playoffs?
I mean, shooting is a major issue. So if, like, they can figure out something, like, I don't think it's going to be something splashy, but, like, maybe like a Bellinelli. Like
Joe Harris.
Or Joe Harris. Yeah, like, guys like that, just who are pure shooters who can space the floor for them, is something that they should definitely pursue.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know who else could even move, though, from their roster that has, like, much interest. I mean, unless maybe you flip. I don't even know. I really don't think there's very many moves they could make left in the roster.
Or just more that minutes for like Kennard.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what you really have to rely on. Maybe guys like Langston Galloway got to get more playing time, and then Kennard have to get, you know, Kennard has to play like every other rookie in this draft class. He's got to start making like almost an immediate impact off the bench.
And he's been pretty solid for them. I think Stanley Johnson's a guy that could step up. He's always been kind of disappointing. He had a solid rookie season. I remember in his first summer league, he dominated. And ever since then, it's just like he's regressed. So maybe we can see some more from him. What do we think about the Pistons in terms of a playoff run? How far can they go with this, you know, core of Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin? Can they make it to an Eastern Conference championship or second round, the farthest they'll get?
No, I think if they can get up to like the 6 or 5 seed, then you maybe they could go around, but I don't see them beating Toronto or Boston or even Cleveland in the first round.
Yeah, I agree, Matt. I think there's no way that the Detroit Pistons are pulling an upset in the Eastern Conference.
Maybe next year,
let's say they keep, you know, Jackson, Blake Griffin, and Andre Drummond. They go out this offseason and they just go after guys who can shoot threes and, like, or 3-and-D players, which obviously everyone in this league is looking for at this point in time for the most part. But say they get, you know, one or two guys who can purely shoot, then maybe things will be different. But I just don't think they can do enough this year to get that kind of roster together.
Do we feel bad for Blake Griffin? I've seen it all over Twitter. People are like, oh, the Clippers were so disloyal, and now Blake is, like, stuck in Detroit. Like, should we feel badly for him real quick?
He's still really rich.
Yeah, he is still really rich.
Yeah, and I saw a tweet, like, a couple weeks ago where Blake Griffin was, like, running off the court, and he was, like, yelling, you know, 9 effing years, and people speculated what that meant. I don't know if he was really that happy in L.A. anymore. You know, I think he was okay with moving. The only thing that sucks is you're going from L.A. to Detroit. You know, you're not moving to a very nice place. You're not moving to, like, the, you know, obviously L.A. is, you know, luxury. That, you know, he was dating Kendall. You're not going to find Kendalls in Detroit. Like, I don't think so. And I personally hate the Pistons. So for me, unfortunately, like, I have to, like, now kind of hate Blake Griffin a little bit more. I don't know. It's definitely going to be a changing experience for him. Because I also think he was opening, like, new businesses in L.A. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, and now he's got to go to Detroit.
Yeah, like, I mean, Nick hit it right in the head. Like, he's still a rich guy. He's going to have a $39 million option in 2021, which he would not have gotten if he signed with a different team, like, because he signed using his bird rights. But, like, he loved L.A., and he loved, like, being in the entertainment business. He just came out with that stupid romantic comedy, and I just, like, wonder if he's really pissed that he has to be stuck in Detroit now.
And I think he has a trade kicker, so he probably got a little extra money too. But like I said, he's really rich, and like Corey said, maybe he wasn't happy. It's kind of hard to tell. We don't really know behind the scenes what's going on, but that wraps it up for today. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Corey. You can listen to the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Google Play, and otgbasketball.com.